If you enjoy this podcast, then subscribe to catch all future episodes.
Welcome to the Need to Know Music Show with me, Rona McManus, here on Switchbox TV. And today we're joined by a singer-songwriter from Buffalo, New York, who now resides in Nashville. Mark Sibilia, how are you doing?
I'm great, man. I can't complain. My daughter woke me up at 6 in the morning, and I'm exhausted. But besides that, I feel pretty good.
Yeah, kids do that, don't they? They don't seem to give a two hoots about getting some.
Yeah, she will not relent.
How old is she?
She's almost 2.
Oh man,
it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, but man, it is. Some days it's weird. Some days just hits different.
Yeah. What was it like lockdown with a small child?
Generally we liked it. You know, we had some help here at the house, but generally it's good. I mean, I think it would be a lot, you know, tougher if we're just sitting here by ourselves. You know, we're always chasing someone around, so you're not really thinking about, you know, what's going on in the world. You're just trying to like make sure everyone lives in your own actual house. So it's actually not a bad way to go. You had more chaos, and somehow it feels a little easier to manage.
It kind of cancels out the other chaos. Yeah,
exactly.
So what plans were ruined for you this year? What was kind of you seem to be releasing a lot of music still, and
I was hoping to tour with some of it, but that's not going to happen. We have like one thing coming up, but yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's been nice to be home, honestly, and it's really pretty great. I mean, both my wife and I are gone quite a bit when a normal year is taking place, and so I've not missed one day of, you know, my daughter's second year of life. You know, as she progresses through her second year of life, I haven't missed really one day. But I haven't been away from her, so and so that's been awesome. So honestly, you know, I'm pretty fine with that as far as that goes, you know.
So normally you're out on the road. Is that kind of what your normal schedule would be?
Yeah,
for you,
traveling, producing, recording, playing shows. Like, could be a number of things, but we're both just gone a lot. So this actually is not horrible for us.
Yeah.
Right now. Now, I mean, how long can we sustain it? We'll see. But
yeah, I mean, it feels like everyone kind of went through this thing where, okay, we can handle this, but the more it goes on, and the more we're having to sort of find a way to play live in some way. Have you been doing the live streams or that, any of that kind of thing?
I did a couple of them. Yeah, I did a couple of them. They're fine. You know, they're all right. I've enjoyed a couple of them too. Yeah. I mean, I guess you just kind of do what's in front of you. And that's all that's presented itself. But I've been recording a lot. I have this new studio that I built here. You can see it behind me. And I was actually working on this since like December. And it's a pretty cool space. And honestly, I'm happy to not leave here, honestly. It's been fun to make music here.
Because you've been recording your album is it just come out or is it coming out?
So the album will come out in 2 weeks. I didn't record any of it here. I did all of it in my old studio, which was a basement with no light and 7-foot ceilings where I worked for 6 years. I'm looking forward to being creative here, but I really haven't yet.
So you've got the, so this is Seed of Joy is the album.
Yep. Yep.
You're doing a launch gig for it.
Yeah. We're doing that in Nashville. We're doing, it's at the City Winery, and, it'll be like it'll be a live show. It'll be live streamed as well. And so we'll see how it goes. You know, it's weird times to do anything, but yeah,
you got to try and give it a go and try and get something out there, you know.
Yeah. So
what were your early years like getting into music, and did you come from a musical family? I come from a musical family, but was it there for you?
Yeah, music. Totally. I mean, I always knew I really wanted to do this, you know, for better or worse. I think, you know, I've always known I wanted to play music from the time I was really little. So in that sense, it's always been hard for me to you know, totally identify with people that kind of have tried to find their way or their calling in life. You know, for me, I've always been kind of obsessed with it. And my grandfather was a bass player band director, and my dad was a guitar player and a singer. And so, you know, it was really kind of, it was all like in my family. And I don't know, like so many of my family are artists. In fact, even like, you know, different kinds, like even this railing behind me, my cousin, Joe Colosi has a company called Milk Design. And he's like, he designs these amazing staircases. He does things for massive buildings in New York. And so there's just so many kind of artists of different kinds in my family. My brother's a drummer, and he's also like he's an amazing drawer and painter and stuff. And so it's kind of in our family. I don't know how many accountants there are in our family. Probably not many.
If they are, they'd be creative ones.
yeah. Which is not what you want.
Depends who you are. And what was sort of the wage were you when you first started playing gigs? I mean, what kind of gigs were they, and what sort of scene was there around?
Well, you know, I used to play like just. You know, I used to play like open mics and then outdoor. Like, I think it's more common, honestly, where you're in London, you said?
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like it's more common in Europe to see that kind of thing. But where I grew up, like, not that the arts aren't appreciated, they actually are appreciated, but it's just kind of a different thing. Like, music is like, I feel like, I could be wrong, but I feel like it's not really this way anymore, but I feel like music is like a thing that's on while you're doing something else. And so, where I'm from. And so, you know, growing up with those, doing those kind of like street gigs and stuff like that, like, so they're pretty discouraging in a lot of ways, but, you know, yeah, I did that. And then I left my family when I was 18, I moved to Nashville, Tennessee, and I just started like learning how to record. And, yeah, I've been here ever since.
I mean, to go from a place where you felt music wasn't kind of, appreciated enough, to go to Nashville, where it's what that place does. I mean, what was that like? I mean, it must have been like getting it like a kid in a candy store, really, for you.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was definitely eye-opening. I mean, to be around people that were so good at what they do, you know, and people that do it professionally. And I mean, I don't know what the level of export is in terms of the, you know, where they're gathering taxes from and whatnot. But I think music's a very, very, very large export here. Although there is like a, you know, big medical community and scene here, you know, it's. You know, one of the first guys that kind of mentored me was a guy named Tom Douglas, who is like a famous country songwriter, and he's really an inspiring guy. He's kind of become like a very good friend of mine. And, you know, that it's tougher for that to happen in other places. And so, you know, that really taught me about like wanting to write lyrics and trying to write songs that were great just as they were before they were produced. And then when I was 15, my dad bought me like a cheap little recording deck and a microphone. And he told me I should really learn how to record. And I didn't really have any interest in it because I always thought playing music was all about playing shows and then signing autographs. And that's all it was. But I just kind of learned slowly but surely, but I really grew to love recording and love the process. And now it's just such like a big part of my life and what I do. So I'm really thankful even to this day.
What sort of music were you listening to and influenced by then, but and around that time that you kind of really sort of music really hit you, and then the move to Nashville, what music were you, who were you trying to emulate at that time, who was your influence?
Probably my earliest attempt at emulation was probably Bob Dylan, like Blood on the Tracks. I'm trying to think of what other records from him were really influential, but you know, yeah, he was like super influential for me, and that was probably who I was trying to copy the most early on. And you can definitely hear it, like, in fact, a lot of those recordings don't really even exist. They're like deep on the internet. But, you know, I put out like an EP that some of the songs were re-recorded, but that's really what I was trying to do.
And what was the song that you got number one in the singer-songwriter chart? Was that How Bad We Need Each Other?
Yeah, so that
was
song
that,
is
was, kind that, of was merged. That from that EP you're talking about?
Yeah, but that song has kind of, so that song was released on an EP that is no longer available. I think we printed 1,000 copies or something, and they were sold on tour. And then So that was, and then I was signed to Sony Publishing. And so then we made new recordings. And then that song, you know, gotten some TV shows. And so it did pretty well, like on some of the like sales charts and whatnot. And then about 12 years later, which brings us to about 6 months ago, Samsung somehow heard the original demo that I had made on that EP, that there was 1,000 copies. And then they used it for like their global worldwide campaign.
Wow.
So, you know, that song has had many lives, and I think, you know, it's kind of it's the blessing and the curse of not really having like a huge hit, you know, with it. Like, it's had success, but not to the point where everyone knows it. And at that point, it's always new for everyone. And it's always viable. It's always commercially viable. It's always viable for, it's pretty cool.
So how did that old recording sound to you when you heard it again?
I hated it. But you know, a lot of people liked it, and I'm like, I kind of oscillate between making art by committee and then making art, you know, just because how I want to do it. And I'm not like I can be swayed, you know, and honestly, at the end of the day, it's like, you know, I'm paying my bills and I'm doing this thing. So it's like, didn't really matter to me. It was like, hey, they want to use it and they want to pay for it. That's fine with me. And it worked pretty well. And I think it is really cool. I'm just having to be really self-critical. And I'm always trying to, you know, get better. I'm always trying to like grow in what I do. And so that was like, you know, it is a little hard to listen to yourself from 12 years ago.
Yeah.
But that was right. That was right when I started to kind of get a handle on what I was doing. I was just starting to understand what I wanted to do. And so it wasn't
a million miles away from where you are now.
Super far. But I will say, I mean, my mom did call me and ask me who covered my song. I was like, Mom, that's me 12 years ago.
Wow. And this That Is Your Land Super yep. Bowl commercial thing, that was that the thing that kind of really exploded?
Helped out a lot, for sure. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, it was like one of the biggest moments of TV. I mean, honestly, I've seen so few commercials like that. It was so crazy. It was like 90 seconds, no talking, just me singing, and, you know, the biggest American sporting event of the year. So it was the most Shazammed moment of that Super Bowl, of the commercials. And I mean, that definitely kind of got things going in the right direction, and has all been a part of my career. Has all really honestly been not so much like huge moments where everything lines up, but a lot of little moments that kind of have added up to having a life and a career,
just like accumulating more and more and getting so what was it like when you started to do sort of collaborations with European DJs? I mean, I've seen you've had a couple of singles there where those were the days, and Unforgettable. There was that bit of a shift in sort of in how you worked, and that, I mean, it's different shifting sounds, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, I have a pretty deep, I have a pretty wide interest in what I want to learn about, and so when I think about a different genre, it definitely is not what I intended to do. You know, I wanted to totally do one specific thing, which is, you know, kind of be like an American singer-songwriter. But I think, like I said, by the nature of my career, I've had to be flexible, and I've enjoyed learning how to be flexible. And I've also learned how to like see it as a challenge. So when I go in the studio with like my German producer friends, it's totally different than when I go in with my, you know, I collaborated with Jim Jones. We did collaborations with like Jim Jones, Fabulous, Rick Ross. And so when I'm in the studio, like with my rap producer buddies, it's a totally different experience. I mean, you know, we're creating fast, we're getting moods, we're getting feelings, and then we're kind of throwing it at the wall. It's just a much faster experience. Like when I'm in with my German buddies, it's much more detailed. You know, we're going to listen to a kick drum 300 times till it's perfect. And so, but I like the challenge of it, you know.
You did that. You were in the studio with them. It wasn't something you did remotely or commissioned to do.
I've done most of my stuff in person.
Oh wow!
So
yeah, I heard. So I spoke to some other guys who kind of do things, and they kind of take the top line and they take it away, and they kind of do their own thing with it and bring it back. But
Some were. I mean, just depends on the songs. Like, you know, yeah. Like, it's been a little bit of both with each, but I've definitely spent enough time in the studios with the guys to kind of realize how different the processes are. And that's really fun because then when I'm in the studio, sometimes I'm producing a song and I produce it like a, you know, like a rap producer would. And sometimes I produce it like a, you know, like a German kind of mixer or DJ would, you know, where I'm getting really into all the details. So it's just nice to know that all these different ways are viable of creating music.
So you've taken all these, you're using things you've learned from all the different people you've worked with. And I think that must be great to feel like you've got more strings to your bow and to be able to actually use that practically rather than just enjoy the experience for what it was and leave it there and bring that with you a bit. Yeah,
definitely. It definitely helps. I mean, because you're dealing with a lot of variables in the studio. I mean, you have a note, you have a tone, you have a frequency, and then you start adding another frequency to it. I mean, it's just amazing how infinite the variables of creating music are. And so what you're doing a lot of times is, you know, you're kind of trying to solve problems. And I think the more you've done it, the more that you realize how to solve different kinds of problems.
I saw the amount of support tours you've done over the years, and the ones that kind of stuck out to my eye were James Bay, Gavin James. I'm a big fan of Gavin James. Ben Rector as well. I remember hearing some Ben Rector stuff, and he's got some beautiful songs. I mean, what are your memories of those? What was your kind of favorite tour, or the one that sticks out in your mind the best?
I've definitely, you know, honestly, those are three really great tours. I mean, and I would say I have three very unique experiences with each of them. Ben's one of my best friends. At least I'd consider him one of my, best friends. I can't say for sure he would say the same. But I've got a short list of people that I feel that way about. But Ben's one of my best friends. And actually, this is his guitar right here because we were recording together the other day. He's one of my best friends. And so that has its own, you know, fun thing about it. You know, we love hanging out, you know, like we've spent a lot of time together. And, but, you know, James is really fun. I mean, he's so talented and those shows were kind of a different kind of energy. You know, it was really cool. It was really a reactive crowd. And then touring with Gavin was cool. Those were like, cause I did some in Ireland with him. Like, I think I did three sold out shows at the Olympia. And those are just really, you know, it's a great venue, great. And honestly, the Irish just party so hard into the night. I mean, I was thinking about it last night because I was watching some show and a bunch of Europeans, they were going out and it's a show on Apple. It's, what the heck is it called? It's Ted Lasso. Anyways, he's this American guy going out with all these Europeans and they're like, just one more drink. And I was telling my wife, I was like, man, I totally like remember, like, it's like 4 a.m. and they're like, how about one more? I'm like, boy, I just want to go home.
So tired. You can't say no.
And it ends up being 6 a.m., you know, and you're still out. And I love Ireland because we've just, that was totally the vibe there. I mean, we would be out till, I wouldn't go to bed till 7 a.m. So I never actually get on European time. And it's very fun. So yeah, they all have their benefits for sure.
Yeah, I've heard that Gavin likes a drink himself. He likes a pie.
Yeah, we would be eating dinner at like 4 a.m. every night. It was insane.
So tell us a little bit more about the new album, Seed of Joy. I mean, what was the how long did it take to write the songs to record and that kind of thing? How much, you know, what sort of highlights are there to look out for? Just tell us a little bit about the album.
Yeah. I mean, most of my, you know, I made it, I wrote a lot of the songs last year when my dad got sick about I'm messing up my timelines, but he got really sick about a week after my daughter was born. And we found out he had they operated on it, but it was a terminal brain tumor. And you know, I was spending a lot of time with him and, you know, he was like losing his ability to walk. My daughter was learning how to walk. And so I was writing these songs, but I didn't really have much time to record them. And so I was just kind of writing and just because it's the way that I kind of live, you know, it's like I'm a writer. And so, I was writing down these thoughts and just journaling a lot. And then when he passed in January of last year, or of this year, I guess. Yeah, January of 2020. And then the world kind of shut down. And so I was like, you know what? I can't really go anywhere. And so I'm just going to record all these songs and I'm going to make an album for him. And that's really what I did. So the album's really dedicated to him, you know, like inside the vinyl, there's a picture of me and him holding hands. And it was actually like the last time we held hands where he could communicate. He couldn't really talk anymore, but he was just, I was just talking to him. He was just kind of squeezing my hand. And so it's really an album for him. And I know people don't even really release albums that much anymore, but for me, well, you know, I'm just trying to do less of what other people do and really care less. So I just, something I wanted to do, and that's what I did.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels, I mean, I must have intensified the process to, for the, to the world to be shut down, for to be in this situation where you were, you couldn't go anywhere. And it was like, you know, it must have been a really intense situation. I've been in that situation before. I lost my, my parents 50 years ago now, but
yeah,
just kind of, it must have been, just made it even more poignant in a way. Was it cathartic for you to get that done in the way that it happened?
Yeah, definitely. I think, honestly, I think the writing of the songs like Already Miss You and This Dream that just came out. And there's a couple of the songs that came out that were really, you know, close to my experience, but writing it was probably in a sense more cathartic. You know, recording it was cool too, but recording is so technical, especially when you're producing yourself. You just cycle through so many ideas, and it's just so much work that by the time you actually finish something, you know, it's almost hard to even know if it's good. But definitely, like, the inspiration of writing those songs, I mean, you know, they just kind of came to me in the, you know, in these really tough moments.
Well, it'll be, I mean, it's, I mean, I've done, I've written an album, similar sort of thing, after my parents died. We kind of, myself, my brother got together, and we kind of, and yeah, it's, I mean, those songs have never been recorded. So, I mean, to have them out there and out there in the world must be quite rewarding to have that.
I think, you know, I was reading a book yesterday, and it's just talking about really, you know, kind of not comparing yourself to other people, just really kind of focusing in on what you do and do the best you can. And for me, it's like I said, people aren't really releasing albums except for really super, super huge artists. And but for me, it's just something I wanted to do. And so, you know, I hope that the beauty that is in the album makes its way and makes itself valuable. And, you know, that's kind of all we can do, especially right now. I mean, we don't really, you know, there used to be a path for us. You put out music, then you tour it, you play the songs, whatever. And, you know, now I don't know what the path is, and that's how fast the world can change. So I think you just got to do what you do and do the best you can doing it.
Yeah, everything seems to be sort of like just making the next decision is all you can do. Just make the exactly. next decision, then make the next one, then make the next one. And just yep. Yeah, well, hopefully it leads somewhere positive for us all.
Yep.
So what would you say would be a career highlight for you? What do you look back on, the really moment you're really proud of?
You know, I'd have to think about that. I don't, you know, my dad used to always get super pissed, actually, because he would, especially so when he got sick, he couldn't really speak that well. And he spoke worse and worse as the disease progressed. And he always loved bragging about me and my brother. And he'd do it if we were right in front of him. And it used to annoy the shit out of us. And and when he couldn't talk anymore, we'd be, you know, taking a walk down his street or something, and his neighbor would come out and he would say, "Oh, you know, Mark, it's good to see you. Hear you're doing well." And my dad was trying to tell him what I'm doing, and but he couldn't. And then he would look at me, because he knew that I knew what he was trying to say, and just because he was sick and because I, you know, empathized, and I'd be like, "Okay, I'm doing this and this and this," so I don't have to, like, read off my credits. But the point is, I don't really think about that stuff that much. But I would say definitely a highlight was, you know, touring with Robin Schultz and playing, you know, arenas and stadiums, you know, in Europe and whatnot. And that was cool. And, you know, but I'm really always trying to make the next thing for me personally, and always trying to invent something new and some other version of myself. And yeah.
Okay. We always ask for, sorry. We always ask for a recommendation on the show. So we always ask for you to give us someone that people need to know. It can be somebody who's new, who's a friend of yours that you want to promote, or it can be somebody who was such a big influence you think people need to check out their music. So yeah. Who would you recommend to us?
Well, my friend just made a record. His name is Thad Cockrell, and he just did, like, there's a collaboration on it with Brittany Howard from the Alabama Shakes, and so that's a really great record. So I'd probably recommend that off the top of my head.
Lovely, that's fantastic. We'll stick a link to that in the description, and also link to all your stuff. And the new album sounds great. There's obviously been quite a few singles out this year already, and good luck for the 13th and for the 12th, which is the launch. So people can tune in there. That's on Mandolin, is that right?
Yes. Yep.
So and where can people find out the details? We'd like you. Which social media are you on the most?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of on all of them. Instagram, I check most readily just to see if the world's burning down. But my website also has, like, all the details. But Instagram's great. Mark Sibilia is just my name. I'm pretty easy to find. Even a poor spelling of that, which is easy to do, will get you where you need to go.
Excellent. So we can people can find and tune into your live stream of your album launch. Fantastic. Listen, thanks for joining us. It looks a beautiful day there. We're very jealous.
It sure is.
It's winter's really kicking in over here now, so we're very jealous of the sun shining on your face now.
Well, thanks, Ronan. Thank you so much.
It's fantastic. Thank you for joining us. Take care.